So chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, starting with verse 40, the Word of God says, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire for you also to reach out and to touch us. Lord, we know if you are willing, you can make us clean. So Father, as we delve into the simple story in this gospel book, may we find eternal truths that encourage and transform our lives. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Let everyone say, amen. 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 So the Bible tells us that in chapter 1 of Mark, that Jesus is kind of involved in several episodes of healing. Mark is a book about action. As John typically is a little bit more theological in nature, he wants to prove to you that that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, and not just the Son of God, but God himself. Matthew seems to focus on other aspects. As Pastor Thomas shared last week, Luke is the only Gentile gospel writer. In fact, the only Gentile writer in all of Scripture. He's the one that's credited for penning the gospel according to Luke, as well as the Acts of the Apostles. So Luke is kind of concerned with Jesus' compassion for Gentiles, for women, for outcasts. That's why you're going to find the parable of the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the lost coin, because Luke just loves this idea of this Jewish rabbi who cares about all people, no matter what their nationality is or their gender. Jesus has compassion for everyone. Mark kind of has a little bit of a different tone to his gospel. Mark is about action. He likes the action hero that Jesus is. So as soon as Mark begins, Jesus is right out of the gates. No birth story. No, there Jesus went to Nazareth and, you know, he was just, you know, in baby clothes, in a manger. None of that. That was just baby talk. Mark wanted to talk about Jesus' muscles from the very beginning. Flexing his muscles, getting involved, getting his hands dirty. So in chapter 1, we already have Jesus being baptized, having to go through the temptations in the wilderness. We have Jesus calling out his first disciples, Jesus driving out evil spirits, healing many, and Jesus even finding time and just to pray. And then this story just kind of jumps out at you. I love this story. Matthew actually talks about it as well in Matthew 8. But the Bible says that this is right after Jesus had just finished praying in a solitary place. People were looking for him. They actually had to send out a search party because our Savior at times just had to get away from all the action. So even though he was an action hero, there were times he just needed to get away from all the action. And the people were looking for him. In verse 36, it says, "Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you. You've been driving us crazy. We've been so terrified. We didn't know what happened to you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there that this is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." And here comes verse 40. A man with leprosy just pops out of thin air. As Jesus is in the middle of his preaching crusade, traveling from village to village, town to town, erecting tents and having evangelistic series, this man catches Jesus in transit and stops him and says, "Lord, if you are willing." In fact, the Bible says he begs him, "Lord, if you are willing." Now, problem number one, lepers were not allowed to be out in public. Not like that. They just couldn't show up at, you know, the Concord Mall and just say, you know, "I need to buy some new shoes," and, you know, talk to the Foot Locker rep and get hooked up like that. It couldn't happen. In fact, if you were a leper, you actually had to cry out as you walked through the streets, "Leper, leper," screaming at the top of your lungs, so that people would know to run into their homes and close their doors and close their windows. Now, if it happened to be a windy day that a leper was walking around the town, they had to at least be 100 feet away from normal people. people that did not have leprosy. And they still had to cry out, "Leper!" And if someone caught you not doing these things, not calling out who you are, they had the freedom to pick up stones and throw them at you. A leper could die if he did not identify who he was. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking up into a church and you immediately have to identify all your failings? You had to walk up into a church and had to scream out where you are deficient in your character. All your shortcomings, all out there for everyone to see and to hear. I am someone who evades paying taxes. Now let's sing our opening hymn, "To God Be the Glory." Can you imagine that? I've been unfaithful to my spouse last week. And you sit right next to him and say, "Can you pass me the tithe envelope? I need to pay my tithe." Boy, if our sins were out there on a billboard for everyone to see, how uncomfortable would we be? See, most of us wouldn't even be able to exist in that type of world because, see, church for us is such a comfortable place because we get to wear all of our masks and we get to pretend that we're always good and we have it all together and we get to wear nice suits and look at me, I have it together, I'm not failing in any area. Well, I'm supposed to say I am, but that's just so I can look humble, but I'm really not. But this man had to call out his mess and everyone was to know he was a leper. But check this out, he doesn't do this. The man goes against the code. He doesn't cry out leper. He just shows up right in front of Jesus' face. That's it. Sir, please, he's begging, please, if you're willing, heal me. Now let me let you know there's a couple of things that would just give a leper away. Number one, leprosy was confused with a lot of other diseases during the time, all right? So they were never really clear exactly what leprosy is, but let me give you a couple of signs that would kind of clue people in that something wasn't quite right with you. You would get like these white kind of like blotches all over your skin. Your skin would start to be irritated and scratch, and you probably would get certain bumps and sores all over your body that would just kind of be oozing with pus and other kind of fluids. And your face over time would become deformed and would swell up in certain areas. In fact, there's even other diseases that we would call modern day Hansen's disease where you're not able to even feel pain. So a person with leprosy could have their hand on the fire and not know that it was burning, because they did not have any pain sensory cells that were active. And so they could cut their fingers off and stub their toe, break their ankle, and they would not feel pain and know that they were causing their body more damage. Believe it or not, pain can be a good thing, amen? Pain has a way of letting us know that what we're doing is hurting our bodies, hurting our minds, hurting our hearts. Pain has a way of letting us know that, look, you don't want to go beyond this boundary. That's why most of us could never lay our hand in the fire and say, "I refuse to remove it." We can't, because pain forces us to withdraw it. So just a little side note here. When you experience pain, it's trying to send you a message. I remember one basketball player who wanted to play in the game so desperately that he asked for a pain-killing injection in his ankle. The trainer obliged, and he went out to play, and the players and the crowd even heard a loud snap as he was on the court. He didn't even know he was causing his ankle more damage and broke his foot entirely. Pain has a way of letting us know this relationship isn't healthy. This situation is not healthy. This is not good for me. There's something that I need to look at more carefully. Pain has a way of pinpointing things in our life that need special attention. That's why God at times can use pain for his advantage. Sometimes it's a way of saying, listen, I needed to get you to focus on this issue and you wouldn't any other way. So I needed to allow this to happen. Pain has a way of being a teacher. And so in this situation, the leper didn't have some of those special sensory cells. And so the body of a leper would be deformed and it would look gruesome to some. And that's why a lot of lepers would have to cover up, because they didn't want you to see their face or their limbs. As soon as you were identified as a leper, you were ostracized from your family. You were not allowed to attend any more worship services. You couldn't show up at church. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't go to the synagogue. You couldn't go back home to your wife or your husband or your children. You had to be cut off outside the city in a community of other lepers. It was the worst sentence that could be passed upon someone. It was the worst experience. In fact, there was only one leper up until this point in all of history that had ever been healed of his leprosy, and that was Naaman, an enemy of God. So when you had contracted that disease of leprosy, it was a death sentence. This man knew it, but for some reason, there was something about Jesus that gave him just a glimmer of hope that made him think that he could leave his community of lepers, risk his life out in the open public, and confront Jesus face to face and beg for his life, beg for mercy, that Christ would cleanse him. Something about Jesus early in his ministry that this man just clung to. Most of us aren't willing to risk our life for cleansing. There's too much to give up. God offers his life. He offers his principles, his commandments. He offers a way that if we walk in it, we would be safe from harm and danger. God offers us so many avenues in which we can experience life at its fullest, but we always weigh the cost. Wait a second. So you're trying to tell me that if I'm faithful to God, that means I can't go out and do such and such? I don't know about all that now. I mean, it sounded pretty good for a minute, preacher, but I don't know about all that. I'm not sure if I'm willing to give that. We always weigh the cost, and this leper had to weigh the cost as well. He realized that he was risking his life, but this is the beauty of it. Check us out. He already knew he was on death row. Amen. He had nothing to lose. He's like, I'm going to die anyways. My life expectancy now is maybe 5-6 more years and I'm dead. I have nothing to lose. This man offers life. He offers hope. He offers a new way. He's talking about a new kingdom. He's talking about healing. He's talking about restoration. He's talking about forgiveness. I want in on it. And I challenge you. I challenge you today that there is nothing to lose in going after Jesus. Nothing to lose. But I won't feel loved like I used to feel loved. You don't feel loved now. Why are you trying to fool yourself? That way didn't work anyways. Well, you mean if I can't do this and that? It didn't work anyways. You know it doesn't work. You know that already. Stop playing games. You see, most of us, believe it or not, most of us are like that basketball player that wanted to inject his ankle with painkillers. We just want painkillers in life. We don't want to solve the problem. We don't actually want the foot to heal. We don't want to be healed or restored. We just want painkillers. We want to try to forget about the past, forget how we've been abused, forget how we've been hurt, forget how we've been let down, and just somehow have enough entertainment in our life, enough distractions, enough addictions, just to get us through. While all the time, we continue to cause more and more harm to ourselves. Just painkillers. I'm not feeling good today. Painkiller. I know exactly what to do. I'll call him up. I know he always disappoints me. I'm going to call him up. I know he's always let me down, but I'm going to call him up anyways. Maybe we can go out tonight and have some special time. Just maybe. I'm not feeling good today. I need to go shopping. That's what I need to do. Shopping always cures my evil. Now I know I need to pay for my kids' tuition, but who cares? Not feeling good. You know? I'm not feeling good about myself. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that other person down. You know what? You're a good for nothing. Bleepity bleep. That's right. Now I feel a whole lot better about myself. Didn't solve anything, did you? You're really still the same person you were after you put that other person down with all those words of anger and bitterness. All we're looking for is painkillers. Let me just play a little longer with this. Let me fool around a little bit longer with that. Let me take a sip of this. Let me take a pinch of that. Let me do this. Let me do that. All we're doing is finding ourselves more and more addicted to painkillers, but not dealing with the source of our pain, the source of our leprosy, the source of our uncleanliness. And this leper is so cool, man. He just says, look, I know there's something about this Jesus that promises to take care of the root of my evil, the root of my issues, the root of my problems. And so he goes and he confronts Jesus and he begs him. Now, you know, the first thing Jesus could have done is picked up a rock and threw it at his face. Said, get back, boy. Don't you ever touch me. Don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I am cleanliness. You just try to make me unclean. You breathed on me. I have cooties now. I mean, Jesus could have done that. In fact, the people that are following Jesus probably thought he should have done that. Because if you were touched by something that was unclean, then you would be considered unclean. They didn't know exactly how leprosy was contracted, so they were under the impression that a person can breathe on you and you can get it. A person can touch you and get it. And in some cases, again, like I said, depending on how you define leprosy, there were some contagious diseases out there. So there, some of their fears weren't unwarranted, but the issue is that Christ was dealing in a society and a culture that was afraid of lepers and ostracized them with a purpose. And interestingly enough, they were following some of the commandments that God had given in Leviticus chapter 3. God is the one that said that lepers could not worship in the temple. God is the one that said that if they were unclean, they needed to be cut off. God was the one that said that. So even his own religion seemed to cut him off from anything that would give him any hope. No comfort at all. Some of us go through sins and have problems in our lives. You know, some of us have battled with cancer, and we at least have people that can comfort us, pray for us, visit us at the hospital, come to our homes, encourage us, but not lepers. Nope. You're a leper, that's it. No hospital visits from the pastor. Nope, you're done. So the man is begging Jesus, says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the Bible says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. Now, this is an interesting setup here because, I know, if I was Jesus, I probably would have said, I'm willing, be clean, and then touch him. But the Bible says that Jesus touches him first. And the Greek word there is actually, it shouldn't be translated touch, like he just kind of like put his hand on his shoulder. The Greek word there, haposite, is actually, it means that almost like he's intertwined. He has him like in some kind of grip. He just kind of engulfs him. I imagine it like in a hug. Not that Jesus kind of like just touched him and said, all right, I'm willing, man. Be healed. But that Jesus like embraces him. It's like he gives him a big old bear hug. He's so excited that the man was willing to risk all. He's so excited this man actually knows who Jesus is. Has that much faith that Jesus gives him a big old bear hug. And squeezes him and says, man, of course I'm willing. Of course I'm willing. Let me tell you what I love about this, family. What I love about this is that God doesn't wait for us to get our act together before he touches us. He doesn't wait for us to have all the right answers and make all the right moves and all the right decisions before he's willing to get close to us. My Bible tells me in Romans chapter 5 that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came. While we were yet his enemies, he came. Paul reasons that even for a good person, it would be hard to lay down your life for. But for a bad person, an evil person, one who hates you, doesn't like you, who spits in your face, it would be nearly impossible. But Jesus says, no. It's impossible for them to be cured. There's no way they can be cured. There's no way they can make it right. There's no way at all. In fact, I have to do it myself. That's why I love Jeremiah 33, where God talks about the new covenant. You see, there was nothing wrong with the old covenant. The old covenant was so clear. It was an instruction manual that God gave us. He basically told us how not to break the equipment. That's pretty much it. He gives us his laws and says, hey, these are the principles of life. This is how you are to experience happiness. Happy is the person, as Jesus says to the woman, happy is the person who hears the word of God and obeys it. Blessed is that person. So God gives us the principles of life, Ezekiel chapter 20 and 11. It says, I've gave them my laws and my commands, which bring life to anyone who obeys them. And the people knew it. It was the instruction manual. It was how to operate the equipment. But the problem wasn't with the manual. The problem was with the one who was handling it. So they look at the manual and say, well, honey, it tells us that we should first plug it in and then push power on. Well, you know, we'll do it some other way. Let's just throw it into the bathtub. Well, honey, it does tell us that we should first put batteries in the remote control. You know what we're going to do? We're going to throw it into the microwave. Hello? Honey, I'm so bright. The problem wasn't with the manual. It was very clear. So there was nothing wrong with the old covenant as far as God, you know, crafting it, writing it up, and giving it to us. There was no problem. The problem was with us. We didn't want to obey it. We didn't want to follow it. So God says, I have to make a new covenant because they're not doing it the way that they should do it. I myself will go down there. I myself will live out that old covenant. I myself will follow it to a T. I myself will fulfill it. I myself will come down there, be so close to them that they have to know who I am. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30, 33. Let's go there real quick. Jeremiah 33. I love this text. And this is what God tells us, even in the OT, preparing us for the new. I said Jeremiah 33. I actually meant Jeremiah 30. Let's go 31. Jeremiah 31. Let's start with verse 31. Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31. The word of God says, Jeremiah 31, 31, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my what? Covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law where? In their minds, and write it in their where? In their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Verse 34, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will what? All know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will do what? Forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. No longer will a man have to teach his neighbor, know the Lord, for all will know me. I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. My spirit will live in them. So God says, I have to do it differently. They're not going to follow it the way that we wrote it up. I know them. We've tried. Moses was a good candidate, but he even failed. Abraham, come on, Dad, please. He had faith, but not all the time. Noah, I thought we could truly count on Noah until he got drunk right after he was free, saved, spared. The man celebrated by getting drunk. That is not going to work. Samson, hello? I made him He-Man, and look what he did with it. David, oh, please, a man after my own heart? Yeah, for like the first 12 years. Then he became king, messed everything up. Solomon, doesn't work. You see, so the Bible tells us that God had to make a new covenant, and I love it because Christ comes himself. Christ does it himself. Christ lives out the old covenant perfectly and crafts a new one for us. And the new one is so simple. It talks about what this leper had to experience. It's us coming to Christ, us realizing that we're sinners, us acknowledging it, us acknowledging there is no other way. There's no way we can be clean except by Christ. Us coming to that point and realization that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's us realizing that we are sinners and we're in need of a Savior. And so Jesus is, he can't help but embrace this man. For this man already understood early in Jesus' ministry, maybe only a few weeks old into his ministry, this man understood the way in which he had to do things. So he came to Christ. He said, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me whole. I know you can cleanse me. I know that you can forgive me. I know that you can restore me with my family. I know that you can set me back into the temple. I can attend church again. I know that I'll be able to come out of my darkness and be able to walk in the light. I know, if you're willing, Jesus, I know that you can do this. You see, family, it's impossible for us to get to where this leper is if we don't know who Christ is. It's understanding that Christ at this time isn't trying to judge you. He's trying to save you. And it's hard to come to a Savior when you always see him as your judge. In fact, in the Bible, the understanding of the judge was really never the way that we see it today. We look at Judge Judy and Judge whoever, and we see them looking at a case and deciding who's right and wrong. The judge in the Bible did not act in that place. The judge was actually more like a lawyer. The judge was always on your side. When you brought someone before a judge, that judge was always there to defend the one who was being accused. He would always look at the facts and try to make sure, are you sure you're right on this? But what? How about if a neighbor did not see it the way they said they saw it? A judge would try to find every way to get this accused person off the hook. A judge was a defender. That's why when you read the book of Judges, you notice that Samson and Gideon were judges. But did they ever sit back behind, you know, a desk with a gavel and guilty? No, what did those judges do? They defended the people. They rescued the people. They were heroes. They were superheroes. It wasn't the Justice League. It was the Judges League. That's what it was about. And when God talks about judging his people, it's not about deciding who's right or wrong. He already knows that we're wrong. We're all wrong. There's no suspense there. There's no jury out on it. We've all sinned, the Bible says. This is what Paul tells us in Romans. We have all sinned and we have all fallen short of his glory. Every last one of us. There's no need for there to be any kind of suspense in it. We're all messed up. We were shaped in iniquity. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are no good. Amen. Get over it. So God, as our judge slash savior, is coming to the rescue. He's coming to save us. He's coming to restore us. He's on a rescue mission. Why resist? Why resist someone who actually wants to make your life better? Why resist someone who wants your joy to be full and running over? Why resist someone who wants to give you a peace that passes all understanding? Now, most of you might think, but Pastor, that means I need more money. I need a better husband, a better wife. I need some kids that don't act crazy. And then, no, God's peace, God's joy has a way of keeping you together in your right mind, experiencing complete joy and happiness, even in the midst of storms. You can have perfect peace even in a world that's not perfect. That's why Jesus says that life eternal life, heaven itself, in John 17:3 is knowing God. When you have that kind of connection, oh, of course, we look forward to the special effects of the second coming. We want to see the firecrackers, the fireworks, and angels coming out. But when we come to know Christ for who he is, there's something about experiencing him that even in the midst of storms, we still have peace. That's why Jesus can sleep in a boat in a storm. Most of us, we awakened when we heard the thunder, right? Okay, Lord, please forgive me for the sin that I committed yesterday. I don't even remember what it was, but I know I did something wrong, and save me in your kingdom. Whew. I think I'm going to make it now. Thunder will wake us up, but Christ can be in the boat. There's water splashing on him. There's thunder and lightning. And he's still asleep. Want to know why? He knows he's not going to drown. You don't panic when you know your destiny. And so God is saying, I don't want you to be scared. Don't worry about people stoning you. Don't worry about people calling out your leprosy, calling out your issues. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about people screaming at you, judging you. Don't worry about it. You just come to me. That's what I want you to do right now. Just come to me. Just come. You can make it. You can make it. Don't think that I'm going to swing at you. I won't. I know you're a leper. I understand it. Trust me. I know stuff beyond your leprosy. You're just talking about skin issues. I know what's in your heart. You're a leper even in your heart. It's okay. Come to me. I can make you clean. And when Jesus sees us, family, the first thing he does is he hugs us. He hugs us. He just wants you to know that your sins don't scare him. That all that ugliness, that darkness in your heart, all that bitterness, that grief, all the cheating, the lying, the stealing, all of that, all of it. He wants you to know that he can hug you even in your sins. You don't have to be perfect for him to perfectly love you. You don't have to have it all together for him to be together with you. So he hugs us. I can imagine the leper there just probably crying at this time. He hasn't been touched in years. His wife wouldn't even touch him. His children wouldn't touch him. His best friends wouldn't touch him. His pastor wouldn't touch him. In fact, they told him, go, leave us, you're a leper. And when Jesus sees him, the first thing Christ can do is just touch him. Just hug him. I'm sure the man just started crying, sobbing in his shoulder, and Jesus saying, it's okay. It's okay, I'm here. But Jesus, you shouldn't touch me. Shh, it's okay. But Jesus said, shh, it's all right. It's all right. I'm here. I'm here now. But Lord, I might make you shh. You might make me what? A leper. But I might. You mean you might transfer your leprosy to me? Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to transfer my leprosy. You're afraid you're going to transfer your sins to me? I am. I'm afraid I'm going to transfer my sins, all my dirtiness. I'm going to transfer it all to you. You're afraid that your death is going to be my death? Yeah, I'm afraid of that. That's why I came. Don't be afraid. I came to take all of you. Everything. Your sins are now mine. Your anger, your frustration, your doubts, I take it all. I take it all. I'll take it to Calvary and I'll get rid of it forever. Amen. I'll bear it. You don't have to bear it any longer. And finally, Christ tells him, I'm willing to bear your burden. I'm willing to experience what you experience. I'm willing. And he tells him, be clean. Family, are you ready to be clean? You know, the end of the story is Jesus telling the man to go to the priest and show himself as Moses commanded, and the priest were to examine him and all this other good stuff, and Jesus trying to tell him to keep it hush-hush and all, you know, all that's the end of the story. And it's cool because Christ does want people to be able to examine our lives and see that we have been born again. Amen? We were talking a little about that in Sabbath school this morning. It's good for people to look at us and be able to say, I know who Christ is because I've seen some of his followers. I see how they are, so I know a little bit about who God is. That's a great part. But I don't want us to go to the end of the story right now. I want us to stay right here, coming to Jesus just the way we are. I know what your parents taught you. I know some of you are here for the first time, and you haven't been in church for many, many, many years. And you know why you stayed away. Christ is wrapping his arms around you right now, saying you don't have to be scared anymore. I'm not afraid of you. Don't be afraid of me. I'm not afraid of your sins. In fact, I already bore them. I experienced all that before you were even born. Been there, done that. Are you ready to come to your Savior? Are you ready for him actually to be your Savior, the one who rescues you? Are you ready? If that's your desire, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we pray. You simply just want to say, Jesus, I'm a leper. Inside and out, I am a leper. I don't have it together. And there's no way for me to get it together. But I know that if you're willing, you can make me clean. You know, one of the things that the lepers had to experience when they went back to the temple is that they would cleanse them with what they called life-giving water. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? I have water for you to drink. If you drink it, you'll never thirst again. Jesus wants to pour over you that life-giving water to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to write that instruction manual that you've thrown away, that you don't want to listen to. He wants to write it in your hearts. He wants to set you on the right path. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you touch us, that you cling to us, that you wrap your arms around us while we're still lepers, while we're sinners. We keep trying to impress you, and we realize we can't. You already know us inside and out. No amount of covering can deceive you that we are lepers. So, Father, we come with our spiritual leprosy, with the darkness of our hearts, with our righteousness as filthy rags. And we just ask you, if you are willing, you can make us clean. Father, forgive us of our sins. Right now, we're just going to pause in silence and we're going to reflect on those sins that we want to give to you. We're going to let you take them right now. We're going to surrender them to you. Lord, if you are willing, you will make us clean. So in this moment of silence, Father, we're going to release to you. Take it all, Father. The bitterness, the anger, the lust, the violence, the addiction. Take it all. The callousness, the indifference, the doubt. Take it all. If you are willing, we can be made clean. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Father and Spirit. Thank you for hearing us. And Father, with our humility, Father, may we experience the joy that comes from being forgiven. May we take you at your word, because we know you. We know that you'll do this for us, Father. May we leave this place knowing that we're new creatures, baptized anew by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, let everyone say, amen, amen. You may be seated.
I've come through many hard trials, through temptations on every hand. Though Satan is trying to stop me and to place my feet on sinking sand. Through the pain and all of my sorrows, through the tears and all of my fears, the Lord was there to keep me. Of it all, not because I've been so faithful. I'd like to say I've always obeyed, but no, it's not because I trusted him to be. Through temptations on every hand, and Satan was there trying. he does.
She didn't want to show, and
Jesus saw the desert in her soul. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you will never, never thirst again. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. True love is hard to find, but I am here to tell you there's one place your thirst is quenched forevermore. You will never leave there disappointed. You'll find what you are looking for. Drink from this water. Drink from this water. And you'll never thirst again. Drink from this water. Drink from this water. And you'll never thirst again. Jesus, He will meet you at the place of every need. Only He can make the wounded whole and make the blind man see. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you will never, never thirst again. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. Drink from this water. Drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again.